This is Vermont Edition. I'm Nina Keck in for Jane Lindholm. Last Thursday at Marlborough College in Brattleboro, a group called the Southeast Vermont Economic Development Strategy held a public meeting to announce the final version of a comprehensive economic development strategy. That strategy has been a long time coming and has been eagerly awaited by a region that hasn't seen significant job growth since the early 1990s. At the meeting last Thursday, Ariel Brooks, who works at Marlborough College and helped create the report, spoke up to express her own frustration at the region's economy.
A lot of people who live here feel like they're sacrificing to make that choice. And my husband and I and our 3-month-old daughter, our family that just moved here a year ago, and we'd really like to stay. Part of the reason that I got involved in this work is because, you know, we were looking at our choices and thinking, well, we love this area, we love the quality of life, we love all the great things, arts and outdoors and sustainability-minded people that surround us, but we think it's going to be an economic sacrifice for us to stay here. And I don't want it to have to be that choice for myself and for all the other young people that might be looking at this area and saying, I would love to be there, but I don't see a job that I could do in that area.
Efforts across southern Vermont to boost economic development will be the focus of our program today. And to help with that, I'm joined by Pat Moulton-Powden, incoming executive director of the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation. That's a nonprofit that promotes economic development in the region. Hi, Pat.
Good afternoon.
Well, now, the closure of Vermont Yankee will obviously hit Windham County hard, and we'll talk about what that will mean for the area. But before we do, can you talk about what the economic situation is like in southeastern Vermont apart from Vermont Yankee? How healthy or unhealthy is that part of the state economically?
Well, we've learned through the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy process and Southeastern Vermont Economic Development Strategies has learned that the economy here in Windham County and arguably all of southern Vermont, the southern four counties, has not been doing that well. Here in Windham County, we've been experiencing essentially population stagnation, no real growth that we've seen in between 2000 and 2010. Our per capita income has actually fallen in that time period. We've seen personal income and from jobs be far lower than the national average. And we're seeing the loss of young people, frankly, in a greater pace than other parts of the state. And we don't seem to be regaining in the same pace some of that 30 to 45-year-old population. So our economy is struggling to begin with. And the loss of the jobs at Vermont Yankee are only going to exacerbate that situation in a really significant way.
The 40-page report that's just been released by Southeast Vermont Economic Development Strategy will obviously be put to use to help Windham County rebound from the closing of Vermont Yankee and the other issues that you've brought up. But I was surprised the roots of this study actually go back to 1997 when folks were trying to bring broadband and cell service to the region. You know, before we get into the nuts and bolts of how this study can affect some of the problems you just brought up, talk about the origins of the study itself.
Sure. Actually, Jeff Lewis, who is my predecessor and current executive director at Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation, was meeting with Laura Sebelia, who at the time was executive director of the Mount Snow Chamber, and they started with a dialogue about cell service and broadband availability here in Windham County, and quickly came to realize that part of the issue was the market and call for those services here in the southern part of the state, and realized the issue is far broader than availability of cell service or broadband, but more the economic health and growth of the region. So Jeff and Laura started having conversations with folks like Barbara Sondag, the most recent town manager here in Brattleboro, and Patrick Moreland, our assistant town manager, and Dutch Walsh and Rockingham and a number of different business owners, and started saying, look, we're not alone in this issue here in Brattleboro and in the Mount Snow Valley. It's confronting all of Windham County. And slowly but surely, a very interested group of folks emerged who said, yeah, this, when you say things like it's difficult, as we heard Ariel speak about the difficulty of both she and her husband finding decent jobs, those stories were resonating with others. Jenna Pugliese, who's the chair of Southeastern Vermont Economic Development Strategy, spoke Thursday night and has spoken about when Jeff came and said, things like folks your age who are struggling finding other folks your age who are like-minded, intelligent, professional people. And she talks about how, you know, he spoke back to me everything I'd been thinking and feeling and realizing I need to be part of the solution. I can't sit back and just let this happen around me. I need to be part of a team that wants to turn things around. So that's really what built a regional strategy. And it has been truly regional. We've got both municipal support and financial support from municipalities throughout Windham County. We've got people and businesses from around the county that are working together. Jenna works at Stratton Mountain Resort, drives that 50-minute drive to Brattleboro to meetings. And I live in Londonderry and very much engaged clearly in this process. But we have a really interested group of folks who have come together and said, I want to be part of the solution.
So, you know, how that report has evolved, and listeners, if you'd like to read more of the Southeast Vermont Economic Development Strategy, we have a link to the full report on the Vermont Edition webpage at vpr.net. But Pat Moulton Powden, you know, you talked about how this began looking at connectivity with communications, cell phone connections, internet connections, bringing that speed up. What's taken so long? Why did the general report take so long to bring to fruition?
Well, it really started, and we have to do a little shout-out to Fairpoint Communications, who originally contracted with Vital Economy, who's been a consultant with BDCC, the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation, whom I work for, and Southeast Vermont Economic Development Strategies, to start first with the data-gathering piece and really understand what is the current condition, what's happening in terms of population, wage growth, job growth, et cetera. So that process was underway with the help of Fairpoint. And then it was a matter of the Southeast Vermont Economic Development Strategy raising their own funds to be able to continue to contract with a consultant to get to the point of creating a comprehensive economic development strategy. Laura was successful, Laura Sebelia, in obtaining a grant from the U.S. Economic Development Administration to help us develop this plan. And then somewhere in the middle, it rained, and we had a flood that was pretty significant.
People got distracted.
Yeah, pretty significant here in southern Vermont in particular, in Windham County especially. And what was so unique, this one of the silver linings, pardon the analogy, was that because Southeastern Vermont Economic Development Strategy had been working with a network of municipalities throughout the region and individuals, including municipal leaders, we had a network in place to reach out and start working on Irene recovery. And we've been very busy with Irene recovery. Again, Laura Sebelia wrote a grant, and again, the U.S. Economic Development Administration came through with some dollars to help us hire flood recovery officers that are working in both Bennington and Windham counties, developing a Southern Vermont sustainable marketing program, doing outreach to businesses. We at BDCC, Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation, have partnered with the Springfield Regional Development Corporation in Southern Windsor and are doing a small business grant program with the help of community development block grant disaster recovery funds from the State Agency of Commerce and Community Development. So we had a little interruption, if you will, but the work on the comprehensive economic development strategies never really stopped. It just kind of took a little bit of a back seat. But it was also time-consuming to go out and engage the region. And we wanted to make sure this remained a regional effort. And we held a number of meetings around the region, Londonderry, Bellows Falls, Wilmington, Dover, Brattleboro, to really gauge input from residents, from business leaders, from nonprofits, education, you name it, to say, you know, what kinds of issues are you seeing here in Windham County? What are you confronting? And then from that information to go back and say, these are the kinds of strategies that might work. What else would you suggest? And so that public engagement process, that takes time, but it's so critically important. And that's what's really lent to the regional buy-in that we have. And frankly, it's my experience in economic development in Vermont for more than 30 years. This is the first time I've really seen a region that's come together and said, we need to act as a region. We need to leverage our regional assets. And part of it is, I mean, here in Vermont, we don't have county government. It's all the towns, so...
You hit on a really important point right there, this lack of regional cohesion. And one of the main points that this report that just was released brings up is the fact that towns in Vermont are very insular, that we don't, without the county government structure, we don't cooperate, work together as much. But you were just talking about what happened during Tropical Storm Irene, when suddenly all of these communities were seeking out disaster relief and different loans and small business assistance, and that regional hubs were kind of being created. When all of that was going on, are you finding now that those regional hubs and all of that sort of collaboration during Tropical Storm Irene can now benefit you as you move beyond and start taking on other issues?
Absolutely. After Tropical Storm Irene, the regional planning commissions, Windham Regional Planning Commission here, really stepped up and played that role of county government in terms of working with municipalities on recovery and just in the first hours, literally communication. Also, regional development corporations like the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation, Springfield Regional Development Corporation, and some of our sister organizations around the state really stepped up because municipalities couldn't really do it by themselves, and there was more opportunity to leverage resources if we act regionally. And that really, I think, solidified for a lot of us that, wow, you can do more working together than on your own. And it really... So having the regional network that Southeastern Vermont Economic Development Strategy created, having that in place was hugely helpful with Irene recovery. But it's also that whole Irene recovery process has really shown us there's a benefit to working together, that, you know, whether it's how do you share, you know, whether it be bucket loaders or how do you learning how to maneuver FEMA or hazard mitigation grant programs, things of that nature. And so I think there's a recognition. I know there's a recognition here in Windham County that there's more improvement. There's better progress to be made if we work together and not feel that a single town needs to go it alone. And I think, you know, I would say to, you know, municipalities around the state, if going alone is working for you, great. But I don't think there's too many towns in Vermont who can honestly say that their economic situation is better now than it was 5 years ago. So acting regionally, thinking regionally, leveraging those regional assets is really important to the economic future of this region, and I would argue the entire state.
Well, let me put a shout out to some of our listeners who'd like to take part in our conversation. You can join this conversation. Do you live in southern Vermont? Do you have some ideas about how to improve the economic situation there, grow jobs? Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. Again, our number is 1-800-639-2211, or you can post your comment on Facebook or send us an email at our website, vpr.net. Jared wrote in, about a year ago, my wife and I moved to the Bennington area from just over the line in Western Mass. A poor economy is nothing new down in northern Berkshire County, but I've been amazed with the decline of Bennington from the town I remember 10 years ago. We're both young professionals in our late 20s, early 30s, and we both work out of state. We're willing to commute and have the higher wages offered out of state, but would certainly wish our jobs were closer to home. And Jared goes on to say, southern Vermont has a lot going for it, but the poor economy, high crime, and drug problems have had an extremely negative impact on the area. However, Jared writes, I'm hopeful. We'll take more of your comments and more of your questions when we come back. This is Vermont Edition. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Nina Keck in for Jane Lindholm. Windham County saw its population grow less than 1% from 2000 to 2010. That compares to a nearly 10% jump in the U.S. population. Personal average income in Windham County grew more slowly than the national average, and the number of people in the coveted 25 to 44 age group dropped significantly. It's a situation that many Vermont towns are grappling with, and today we're talking about how Windham County and the surrounding region plans to fight back by attracting new employers, creating better-paying jobs, and boosting their population. Lofty goals? You bet. But if their approach works, perhaps southern Vermont will develop a roadmap the rest of the state can use. Pat Moulton-Powden is my guest today. She's incoming executive director of the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation. I'd like to bring in another voice into the mix now. Dutch Walsh is the economic development director for the town of Rockingham. Hi, Dutch. Welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, Nina. Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, we've been talking kind of on a broader countywide scale, regional scale this morning. But part of this push is to get individual towns like Rockingham, where you live, to work more collaboratively and be less insular. And is that something your town is actively trying to do? And if so, how?
Rockingham and Bellows Falls, I think, are on board now. I think it's taken some time. I think that the fact that the select board in Rockingham has committed to support the SEVID's Southeastern Vermont Economic Development Strategies financially and has put money in their budget to do that is an indication that they are willing to work collaboratively, and they realize that they need to work regionally, and they realize that having a regional development corporation and a roadmap for future economic development is important for Rockingham as it is the entire region.
So if you were to cite one or two of the biggest obstacles that your town faces when it comes to growing jobs and boosting your population, what would those be?
There are two, really, that I think are the main ones. One is workforce development, making the connection between the schools, both the middle, high school, and higher education, and the employers that we have in our community. And the second would be, where are we going to put people? We have aging buildings, a lot of buildings that are brownfield sites. We don't have space for new industrial parks, and those are all the things that we're looking at and working with Pat on.
Now, how realistic, I guess, are the goals and strategies outlined in this new economic development report for Windham County? And do you see any specific ideas or goals that you can say, yeah, we can start to harness that?
Well, when I first, and I've been involved for several years with SEVIS, not right from the beginning, but joined the board a couple of years ago, but have been following this since 2007. And I was first a little reluctant to think that this would work, but the more meetings that I went to, the more energy that I saw, the more people that were getting involved from across the 27 towns in the region, in Windham County, with similar problems, I began to realize that we finally got to where we should have been. It's taken a long time, a lot of credit goes to Jeff Lewis and Laura Sebelia and Pat Moulton. I think that some of the goals that we're looking at are very realistic. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a lot of hard work. I think we've got the people on board to do that. I think that if we don't, we're going to be facing even harder economic times.
All right. Well, I want to appreciate you calling in today. Dutch Walsh is the Economic Development Director for the town of Rockingham. Dutch, thanks again.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
You bet. 1-800-639-2211, our number. If you have a question or a comment, maybe you have some thoughts yourself on how to grow jobs, how to boost the economy in southern Vermont. Robert writes in, there is much talk about job creation as a fix for the economy. Can you distinguish your idea of job creation from trickle-down? And how do you create jobs anyway? And Steve wrote, they need to start with incentives for businesses to come here. Most business owners I know want to leave because of taxation and unfriendly anti-business political climates. I already shut down two businesses because of it, he writes. Bring big business and the jobs will come with it, from building their facilities to staffing it. And Steve goes on to say, getting rid of the burden of the quote-unquote entitlement class and cutting crime would go a long way as well. Pat Moulton-Powton, when you talk about something like growing jobs, and you look at this framework that has just been released, what are some of the first steps that you can take? The region is losing a huge employer with Vermont Yankee, so how do you entice other folks to come in?
Well, keeping in mind that we don't do the job creation, it's the private sector and employers, nonprofit and profit, who do the job creation. The key for us is to create an environment where those sectors can survive and thrive, frankly, and continue to grow. So Dutch mentioned, for example, workforce development, the need to make sure we have a skilled and ready workforce and linking our workforce needs with our educational institutions, both secondary and post-secondary, that's a key piece to make sure that we have an available and trained workforce and market that, and that we have the resources to upgrade the skills and retrain our workforce as the needs of business change. Technology changes pretty rapidly these days, so helping folks adapt to that change and provide the right educational opportunities is really a critical piece of creating that environment where folks can grow. Another person wrote in about incentives, and clearly maintaining a competitive cost of doing business is important. And incentives are important, but Vermont has always excelled, and Windham County and Southern Vermont is no exception, in growing our own businesses. So much of what we want to do as part of our comprehensive economic development strategy is creating an entrepreneurial ecosystem or an innovation ecosystem where we have things in place that will assist new entrepreneurs who are starting a new business or existing businesses who are growing. Things like making sure we have appropriate capital resources, that we have locations, Dutch spoke about, places where we can put new business, that we have buildings and pieces of land ready to accommodate growth, creation of business incubator space that enables new entrepreneurs to get started perhaps at a lower cost and with services around them, expanding the technical assistance networks that we have in place. We have great networks statewide and Small Business Development Center. How can we augment that with things like business mentoring and getting successful entrepreneurs to work with new entrepreneurs and help those new entrepreneurs go through the bumps and bruises of starting and growing a business? Creating relationships with universities, whether it be the University of Vermont or, in our case, the University of Massachusetts or Keene State College, in addition to our excellent resources of the six colleges and universities we have located in Windham County. So it's creating that environment where business can grow and thrive. And that's really the number one priority. Take care of our existing businesses, help them grow. Number two, help our entrepreneurs get started and be successful. And number three, yes, seek to attract in new businesses from out of the area. And we had one of the folks write in about how they love to live here. We have a huge population of second homeowners and tourists that visit our ski areas and our communities, be it winter or summer. And we haven't really even tapped those folks to say, if you love coming here to visit or you love coming to visit your second home, why not move your business here? Well, why not do your business here?
That's kind of an interesting point, too. Part of the report points out that one of the things that the region needs to capitalize on or leverage on are its assets. And obviously, the gorgeous landscape, the ski resorts, the reason people have second homes is definitely an asset for the region. What do you see as the other assets? And listeners, if you have ideas about assets for Southern Vermont, we'd like your comments and questions as well. 1-800-639-2211, the number to call to jump into this discussion. But Pat Moulton Powden, what are the assets that you see, the key assets that you can better leverage in Southern Vermont?
Well, we have six colleges and university here in Windham County, and that's probably, unfortunately, one of our best-kept secrets. But they not only are a great location for undergraduates and graduates to come to go to school, but they're also physical infrastructure that could be better leveraged, say, for example, in the summertime when dorms are empty or vice versa, when dorms are full and maybe condominiums and second homes are empty, and can there be a tourism network that could be created where folks can come here as a destination and have an opportunity to engage in an educational opportunity at one of our educational institutions, maybe week-long programs where they're learning new things part of the day and cruising around and checking out our beautiful landscape and our tourism sector another part of the day. Those educational institutions are also have a number of students that come to school here that may want to stay and have jobs here, and we need to better leverage that. And we're right now in the middle of hiring an internship coordinator to help place undergraduates with employers in and around the region. We have regional assets that are outside of the state that can be better leveraged. I mentioned University of Massachusetts, Keene State College, that are doing some interesting and exciting things around specific workforce training and educational opportunities. The manufacturing base that we have here in Brattleboro and in Bellas Falls, those are opportunities to bring in new businesses mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. vertically integrate that manufacturing sector. We're working on a program to create a high-performance and green building cluster.
So I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to make sure we have time to bring in some other thoughts. But you're kind of pointing out a lot of assets, many which focus on higher education and also the manufacturing, former manufacturing hubs that can be turned into something else as we move forward. I'd like to bring another voice into our discussion right now. Bill Colvin is the Sustainable Community Development Program Director for the Bennington County Regional Commission. He joins us by phone from his office there. Bill Colvin, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you very much, Nina. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about Windham County. I'd like to talk about how the efforts are kind of broadening to all of southern Vermont. And I'm curious, Bennington has also struggled to bring in new jobs and grow their population. What are the biggest obstacles that you think Bennington County faces as it works to boost its economic development?
Well, listening to the show, I think you hear very similar things and concerns echoed in Windham County and in Bennington County. And when the CEBED's process and the development of the Windham County Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy began, I was actually working in Windham County in the towns of Wilmington and Dover, and that's how I came to be on the board on the CEBED's board. As I transitioned to my role in Bennington County, the folks at CEVIDS and folks in Bennington County, I think, quickly realized the benefits to be had of trying to partner in areas where it made strategic sense. There are a number of similarities between the two counties. You've heard about the aging populace. You've heard about lower average incomes. You've heard about the challenges with regard to youth flight, particularly in that 25 to 44-year-old age demographic. There are issues with quality housing, specifically that target workforce housing, and those exist equally in Bennington and in Windham County. On the other side of the equation, I think there are similar opportunities. Pat has referenced the higher education realm. There are nearly a dozen institutions between Bennington and Windham County in higher education. One thing we haven't talked about is access to large markets, that I-91 corridor in Boston, on the eastern side of the state, and the easy access from New York State, Connecticut, Long Island, certainly on the Bennington County side. And there are key strategic clusters from which to build, which Pat just referenced, optics and the green building cluster in Windham County. The composite cluster is a strong manufacturing base, which remains in Bennington County.
And Bill Colvin, are there any specific projects that you are ready to start collaborating on in the next 6 months to a year that you can really jump on and maybe talk about to give listeners a specific sense of something that you can work on collaboratively?
Sure. I think that's already begun, Nina. One of the things that came out of the partnership immediately was this Economic Development Administration-funded Southern Vermont Post-Irene Recovery Project. That was the grant that was co-authored by the Windham Regional Commission and Bennington County Regional Commission. And that has placed the flood recovery officers in Wilmington, serving Wilmington and Bennington County, and in Brattleboro for Windham County, getting out, working with businesses, assisting them in recovering from financial implications, direct or indirect, realized from the flooding of Tropical Storm Irene. It's resulted in the regional commissions going out and being able to provide additional technical assistance to our downtowns and village centers, which are key critical economic and quality of life components in both regions. So we've been working with them to do some strategic planning, looking at economic development projects, assisting mm-hmm. them in evaluation of infrastructure. And a very exciting outcome of this is the development of the Southern Vermont Sustainable Marketing Project, which has brought together chambers in Manchester, Bennington, Mount Snow, and Brattleboro, and brought in a consultant who has worked with hundreds of communities around the country to develop economic development and marketing strategy for those communities.
Well, Bill Colvin, thank you so much for calling in. I want to make sure we have time to get to one or two more callers. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Nina.
Bill Colvin is the Sustainable Community Development Program Director for the Bennington County Regional Commission. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. Let's go to Burlington now and talk with Vic. Hi, Vic. Welcome to Vermont Edition.
Yes, I was just realizing that the more you shift focus away from manufacturing and into service industry, it's going to, in my view, make a hole for everybody to not be able to climb out of, you know, recession or whatever we're in.
Well, let me throw your question to Pat Moulton. Powden, sounds like Vic is concerned about too much relying on service jobs. And briefly, Pat, how do you answer that?
Well, I would agree. Manufacturing and jobs and manufacturing businesses are really critical because they tend to be the capital importers. They export a product and import capital. So we want to grow manufacturing here. Two of our cluster initiatives are around high-performance building and green building because we already have a number of companies engaged in that, but also technology, including precision manufacturing. Again, a lot of companies here that are engaged in those sectors, and we want to build that up and round that out. Not to say that we don't also want those service sector jobs. We need them. And Windham County in particular, very strong healthcare service network that serves beyond Windham County, frankly. But I would agree with the caller. Manufacturing is really critical, and our economy performs best when we have growing percentages of our labor force engaged in manufacturing and a growing percentage of our gross domestic product coming from manufacturing.
All right, Vic, thanks for that call. And listeners, we unfortunately are running out of time for this topic here on the radio, but the discussion will continue online. You can talk about the closure of Vermont Yankee. Your thoughts, again, you can see that full report. We have a link to that on the VPR website, vpr.net/Vermont Edition. And I want to thank my guest, Pat Moulton Powden. She is the incoming executive director of the Brattleboro Development Credit Corporation. Pat, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you so much, Nina. It was a pleasure to be here.
Still to come, is he in or is he out? We'll talk about the rumors swirling in New Hampshire that former U.S. Senator Scott Brown will challenge incumbent Jean Shaheen for her Senate seat. That's still to come on Vermont Edition. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Nina Keck. Former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown may be angling for another Senate seat, this time in New Hampshire, where he has a summer home. Joining us to talk about the rumors and the possibility is New Hampshire Public Radio political reporter Josh Rogers. Hi, Josh. Josh, you there?
Yes.
Good. So Scott Brown himself hasn't said anything, so I'm curious, why all the rumors?
Well, he has spent a lot of time in New Hampshire, speaking engagements, Rotary clubs, Republican Party fundraisers. He wrote a $10,000 check to the state party. He said everything's on the table, including a possible run against Jean Shaheen, and the visits continue. The absence of a strong Republican challenger makes some here think that he might be the best shot for the GOP to take the seat, and He's going to be back on December 19th speaking at the state Republican Party's Christmas party.
So how has Jean Shaheen's campaign responded to Brown's possible candidacy?
With a fusillade of fundraising entreaties, it's at least for now, it's been good for her, probably. She's probably sent out more than a dozen every time Scott Brown shows up, another fundraising email goes out. So she's been raising money off of Scott Brown's hovering. And you know, at the same time, her people acknowledge that Brown, you know, would be more of a headache potentially than the candidates now in the race. Jim Rubens, who's a former state senator, and Karen Testerman, who is a conservative activist, have both declared already they're not seen as terribly strong.
What about, yeah, U.S. Senator Bob Smith?
Well, he has to move back to New Hampshire. He held the seat that Jean Shaheen now holds. You may recall in 2002, Republicans sort of tossed him out in the primary in favor of John Sununu the Younger, who served a term, and then Jean Shaheen beat him in the rematch. And so Bob Smith says he's going to run. Several months ago, he said he wasn't going to run. He has mounted two very short-lived campaigns for U.S. Senate in Florida, where he has a real estate business. He has a house on the lake here as well. So he's apparently on his way back. He has no public event scheduled for some time. You know, Bob Smith is certainly the biggest name in the race.
Well, he ran for president.
Yes, well, that too.
under a couple different party monikers.
Yes, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to cover his resume sort of completely. But you know, Bob Smith isn't seen as a guy. You know, he's well known, and he's certainly, you know, in a Republican primary, he's a staunch conservative. But you know, he's 72 years old, hasn't won election since 1996, has annoyed the Republican Party establishment a great deal, and I don't think the Shaheen people are terribly worried about facing him. Scott Brown may be a different animal. There is obviously the carpetbagger problem he'd have to overcome. You know, last week he was here and was talking about the people of Massachusetts when he stopped himself in midstream and corrected and said the people of New Hampshire. But you know, we may not know what Scott Brown's up to for some time. He, you know, is working as a lobbyist, and he's spent time in Iowa. Some people think he may ultimately be positioning himself for a presidential run. Covering this has been odd. The Boston Herald, their gossip columnist, wrote a few days ago that, you know, he may be holding off on this because his two daughters may both be getting married this summer. I don't know if that's true, but Scott Brown's certainly doing this in an interesting way if he does intend to follow through. He hasn't been courting the grassroots activists and reaching out to local political consultants in the way that, you know, most candidates do when they're thinking about running for statewide office.
Well, let's talk about what Republican Party officials are saying over his possible candidacy. I've read all sorts of things, frustration, some excitement. What are you hearing?
Well, a lot of people are just watching. Nobody really knows what he's going to do. There's been lots of coverage that suggests people close to Brown say X, people close to Brown say Y. They recognize that he's somebody who can raise money and raise money quickly. That's one thing you need in a Senate race. You're probably going to need to raise $10 million. That's something Scott Brown could do, tapping donors nationwide. You could argue that his position on the issues, he's not staunchly conservative on social issues, might help him peel away the independent voters that decide elections here. But Jean Shaheen's a pretty tough customer. She's been in office for years now, starting in the state Senate. The only race she lost was to John Sununu in 2002 in a heavily Republican year. A lot of people are, you know, people think that Scott Brown may be comfortable running if the elections end up being a referendum on the, you know, healthcare law. It's a long ways away to know whether that's going to be the case. We may learn what Scott Brown, we may learn more next week at the holiday party. We may not learn anything till deep in the year. Maybe nothing comes of this.
And finally, are you hearing any sort of reaction from voters briefly? Josh, are you getting any sense of whether they're excited about all of this or kind of tired of it?
Well, the New Hampshire electorate is pretty seasoned in terms of witnessing big-name people show up and act like you should be paying attention. You know, if Scott Brown gets in the race, he might be able to run a different kind of campaign than the other people in the race, you know, kind of big money campaign. You know, it remains to be seen. I think a lot of people are confused. The Manchester Union Leader's editorial page, you know, some months ago told Scott Brown to stop flirting with New Hampshire voters. He continues to flirt.
Well, it sounds like a race that we'll be following for a while and probably checking back with you. Josh, thank you very much.
Anytime.
Josh Rogers is a political reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio. And that is it for today. Tomorrow, a lot of cats and dogs are brought to Vermont for adoption, but illness and stress in transporting them can lead to problems when they arrive here. Tomorrow on Vermont Edition, how animal shelters in our region manage the risks of transporting animals for adoption. We'll learn more tomorrow at noon on Vermont Edition. Vermont Edition is produced by Patty Daniels, Rick Singeri, and Sage Van Wing, with production assistance from Tim Johnson. Mary Williams was our director today. Our executive producer is John Van Hoosen from PEG TV Studios in Rutland. I'm Nina Keck. Thanks for listening.